What child is this? This morning we end our Advent series where we have been asking this question. We have explored the answer through the characters of Joseph, the wise men, and the shepherds. And this morning I want to sum it all up. When we considered the story of Joseph, we saw how even though he was not the real father of Jesus, it's clear that Joseph adopted Jesus as his son. Joseph gave him the name Jesus and gave him his lineage. What child is this? He is the one who adopts us and names us a part of his own family. He's the one who gives us hope, who comes into our pain, confusion, and darkness. We then looked at the wise men, Gentile men from the East who traveled a long way in order to come and worship Jesus, bringing gifts to honor him. What child is this? He is the one who comes for everyone. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who is worthy of all worship, the one to whom we can give our lives. Last week we considered the shepherds, ordinary Jewish working class people, and we noted that in this story the symbolism of coming to the shepherds, who were most likely raising the lambs that were then to be sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem. What child is this? He's the good shepherd, the one who came to provide and protect his flock. He's the Lamb of God, the one who came to give of his life that we might be forgiven. There is a lot contained within this little child lying in a manger. This sermon series originated out of the Christmas carol that we just sung, written by William Chatterton Dix. The final thing that I want to point out this morning, as we conclude looking at what child is this, arises from what Dix wrote in the last line that gets repeated each time in the chorus. The child is the babe, the son of Mary. When the angel greets Mary, he says, "And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." When Mary hears this greeting from the angel, she wonders just how this could be, as she was a virgin. And the angel responds, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." The child on Mary's lap, sleeping, is the Son of God in the flesh. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is fully God. He embodies the exact representation of God the Father. That is who this child is. Emmanuel, God with us. Colossians 2:9 tells us, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." But there's more to the story. Jesus is also fully human. As the Christmas carol states, he is the Son of Mary. The Apostle Paul speaks to this unique characteristic of Jesus in Philippians 2:6-7, saying, "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being." The thought that God would become man is simply without parallel in any other faith. In no other religion does God do anything more than, you know, tell his subjects what to do to earn favor, or give instructions on how, if they're lucky, they just might avoid making him angry. Jesus is the only person who has ever chosen to be born. God come to be with us. And his entire reason for coming was to die for us. Our Savior gave up the splendor of heaven to become a helpless infant, born to peasant parents and laid in a feeding trough. His life here on earth was marked by weariness, homelessness, and rejection by his own family and the crowds that he served. He suffered horrific torture and execution. He bore our sins so that we might be made right with God. In the chorus of the second verse that we just sang, it says, "Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary." The incarnation is an act of God's love. Jesus gave freely of himself out of love for you and me. He became one of our own that we could be his own. Philippians 2, 7 to 8 in the Message says this: "He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. What child is this? He is God and he is man." I have a little book called Children's Letters to God. It has some precious things that kids have said. For example, little Lewis wrote, "Dear God, I wrote you before. Do you remember? Well, I did what I promised, but you did not send me the horse yet. What about it?" Maria writes, "Dear God, do you get your angels to do all the work? Mommy says we are her angels and we have to do everything." But the letter that caught my attention was one from a little girl named Harriet Ann. And she said this: "Dear God, are you real? Some people don't believe it. If you are, you better do something quick." He did do something. He sent his son. He became one of us that we might know him, that we might be one with him. What has this Christmas season been like for you? Pressure maybe to spend money that you just don't quite have. Shopping in busy stores, trying to just find the right gift. Expectations that have not been met. Busy with all sorts of things. Decorating, cooking, all those special events. Lost. Lonely. Stressed. Depressed. One poll suggested that there are 3 million family arguments each Christmas. Can't imagine. I read in a little book by Nikki Gumbel that it is reported that two psychologists, a psychotherapist and a counselor, sounds like a joke, but this is not. And they were running a workshop entitled "Stress in the Family, Coping with Christmas." They said that part of its success seemed to be the chance it offered to get away from it all. The psychiatrist Anthony Storr, in an article on depression at Christmas, entitled it, "Cheer up, it's soon over." I found myself emotionally down this past week. I had an old hurt that resurfaced. I received some kind of large, unexpected bills. I felt the pressure of not meeting people's expectations. And there certainly has been a lot to do. It all just kind of seemed to snowball together and pulled me down. I was grateful for someone to go to and to be able to talk this through. And one of the things that he reminded me was to not deny how I felt, but in the middle to pray and to keep my eyes focused on the one who loves me. Loves me no matter what. That's the point of Christmas. To remind us of his love. With all the magic, the stress, and the hype of Christmas, do we sometimes miss that point? We can try to fill the void in our lives with so many things. Gifts, money, work, sports, success, drugs, alcohol, the list can go on. Even the closest human relationships, wonderful though they are, do not themselves satisfy the emptiness that we feel deep inside. Nothing fills this gap except God. Jesus entered our world in order to restore our relationship with God, to bring us back into relationship with Him, to bring us hope and joy. As we sang, "Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary." C.S. Lewis states this, "At Christmas, we remember the central event in the history of the earth, the very thing the whole story has been about." At Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' birthday. And when you have a birthday party, where should the focus be? It should be on the guest of honor. It seems sometimes, however, we do lose sight of this. The supreme reason for giving gifts at Christmas is to remind us of Jesus' gift to us, the most valuable, expensive gift ever given, the gift of His life, becoming one of us that we might be one with Him. The Apostle Paul wrote saying, "The Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." What child is this? He is God. He is man. I read this the other day. "Worship me in holy majesty. Come close to me and rest in my presence. You need me both as God and as man. Only my incarnation on that first long ago Christmas could fulfill your neediness. Since I went to such extreme measure to save you from your sins, you can be assured that I will graciously give you all you need." As little Harriet Ann asked, "God, are you real? Then do something." He has done something. He has come. Simeon, an old man who was waiting in the temple for God to do something, when he saw Jesus, declared, "My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. He is a light to reveal God to the nations." Jesus is the one we've been waiting for, the one we long for, to redeem us, repair us, love us, forgive us, comfort us, help us, die for us, raise us to life. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. He is the reason we celebrate. The waiting for the arrival of the Lord is over. But now the waiting does continue for the second advent, another day of joy and celebration, a day when death is gone for good, tears gone, crying gone, pain gone. As we walk through each day in all the various circumstances that we face, all those ups and those downs, we can do so in relationship with Him, celebrating that He has come, Emmanuel, God with us, that He forgives us, adopted us, and holds us by His grace. This Christmas, may we celebrate that the waiting for the first advent is over. He has come, revealing Himself to us, saving us. And may we prepare and position our hearts as we continue to wait for that second advent to take place, living each day with the joy of Christmas and the new birth that is ours when we put our faith, hope, and trust in Him. What child is this? He's the King of Kings, the Shepherd of all, the Lamb of God, the greatest gift of all, God and man. He is the one who comes to save. Lord, we are so thankful that you have come to save us. This is real love, that you loved us to come to be one of us and to give your life as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God and man. A truth that maybe at times we just cannot fathom. Jesus, we celebrate you on this, your birthday. May we come with grateful hearts, remembering, trusting, and offering our lives to you, putting our hope in your unfailing love. Jesus, we thank you that you have come, that you are present with us today, and that you will come again in power. We rejoice in you this day. In your name, Jesus, amen. Let's stand and sing together.